You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well.
So there I was. It was the mid-90s. I had done a shitload of acid, and I would spend a good hour and a half in a toilet just staring at my buddy's beach towel. I could see like every single fiber of this towel, and it was like an individual light source was moving around each fiber, so the shadows were just being cast in all these different directions, and it was really trippy and weird. But the big revelation I had was later that night when, you know, I like experienced the underlying visual vocabulary of all graphic art through the centuries and realized that how it all tied together. But what I kept coming back to was the towel, and I kept thinking to myself, you know, this is why I don't do drugs, because I do not want to be a guy who spends an hour and a half staring at a fucking towel. However, if you like staring at towels and other bright, beautifully colored objects, you might enjoy this new Netflix series called The Midnight Gospel from Adventure Time's Pendleton Ward and comedian podcaster Duncan Trussell. Joining me to dissect this 8 pieces of just insanity are the also probably trippy Mindy.
Hello.
And the probably less trippy Bradley.
Yes, very much less trippy. Hello.
I don't think you're altered at the moment. I'm halfway through a beer, but I'm not exactly tripping.
Should I be insulted?
You're in theater. Come on. You've done a little experimentation.
Fine.
We know that. but yeah, this just dropped on 4/20 because of course it would.
Of course it would. Although that's apparently Duncan Trussell's birthday as well, so.
Yes, which is, you know, I guess a happy cosmic coincidence. For those who are wondering what the hell we're talking about, Midnight Gospel is an animated web series. It's only about 30 minutes each. There's 8 episodes. It's about a young man played by Duncan Trussell himself, a guy named Clancy who lives in this alternate universe. He owns an illegal multiverse simulator, and every episode he travels to some other strange, weird world where he meets some unusual individual, typically played by a real-life comedian or podcaster, and then they have a real long conversation about, you know, life, death, that sort of thing. A lot of heady
subjects. And those conversations are taken from the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, which is his podcast. So they're snippets of episodes of his podcast that are animated.
Right. And then he'll come back from that episode, usually having brought back like a pair of shoes. That's a recurring gag.
Yes.
And yeah, now if you're a big fan of Duncan Trussell's podcast, you might be really into this. And if you're a big fan of animation, I think there's a lot here. If you love sort of like 60s, 70s psychedelia and that kind of brief period in American animation, then there's a lot here for you to chew on. The question is, are these two great tastes that taste great together? And that's what we're here to talk about. Bradley, what did you think of this?
I thought it was really weird.
Well, thank you. It's been fun talking with you all. That's our review.
Yeah. Well, I thought Adventure Time was weird. But there's always a moment in Adventure Time, and this particular show as well shares that eureka that Adventure Time has. You know, I'm watching this like I would watch that show with my kids. I'm like, this is weird. I'm actually feeling kind of creepy about this. Where does these animators get off trying to shove this bizarre, drug-induced, fueled, almost despicable and tasteless animation in my... Oh, I get it. I get it. I'm there now. I love this. So, quite the journey. I'm going to say I liked it, even though I didn't understand a lot of it.
Yeah. And Mindy, what are you thinking about this? Did this hit you on all the right levels?
No, it didn't. I'm somebody who really likes listening to podcasts, and the stuff that was being said I thought was really engaging for the most part. But, and if this were just episodes of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, I would have totally been into it. But the thing is, like, you know, the animation, it only very, very vaguely connected to what was being said. And it was fine when it was just like a weird background. Like the very first episode is Dr. Drew talking about drugs and the effects on people and minds, you know, and why the mind goes into things like addiction while there's a zombie apocalypse happening. And when the zombie apocalypse was in the background, that was funny. And so it's like, yeah, we're just having a normal conversation, meanwhile trying to kill zombies. That was fine. But it was in later episodes when the animation tried to essentially be the focus instead of staying in the background. That just irritated me. Like, there was an episode that focused on, the conversation was about forgiveness and the nature of forgiveness. And then they had this long drawn out thing at the end about this dude that, you know, kidnaps and eats people with his butt. And I'm like, that just took me off from what was being saying. And before that, there was like this talk about mysticism and magic, and then at the end these two golems like beat each other up because one of them had sex with the other one's wife, and it's just like, it took me out of everything that had just been said because they decided to do something that they thought was funny or clever.
It's usually running somehow counter to what is being said, and I also found it distracting when you have a character talking about, you know, the beauty of forgiveness, but, you know, the guest star who is playing a character is also required to, like, occasionally have to go kill people in horrible, brutal, violent ways while talking about love and forgiveness and letting go.
Yeah, and it's like when that was in the background as a juxtaposition, like I said, that was fine because you could focus on what was being said and sort of glance in the background and be like, huh, that's kind of odd and weird. But when it became the forefront, it was just dumb. And the only time I felt emotional resonance was the last episode when he was talking to his mom. And because it's a boy talking to his dying mom, so of course there's going to be an emotional core. But all the rest of it was just like, you're trying to one-up the words by the animation, and that just did not work for me.
No, I'm totally with you on that. I mean, especially when you have, like, you know, the character who's all about love and forgiveness and also just brutally murdering people. And of course, that is a person who's just brought into the studio and is recording some deep thoughts about whatever topic interests them. So they don't have any control over it. It would have been funny if it felt like it was designed to be incongruously funny. Like, it's making a point, like, look at this person talking about forgiveness, but meanwhile they're killing all these people. I don't think that was ever the intention. And I found that I enjoyed it more when I turned away from the screen and just listened.
When it's just
and when
the
I looked
words.
At it, I just didn't listen to what was happening. So I think there are two very good things going on here in terms of really engaging imaginative animation and really, well, not always really interesting deep thoughts going on, but they just often clashed. And to be perfectly honest, I've spent most of my adult life in bars and parties and social occasions and coworker meetups trying desperately to avoid these kinds of conversations. It happens every time I'm somewhere. It's like, could I tell you about the time I smoked peyote and I discovered God? You know, it's like, no, I don't care. No, I don't want to talk about your interpretation of metaphysics.
Yeah, you have to be susceptible to this kind of deep thought, because there were some of them, it's like, wow, this is really interesting. Like, I really liked the one with Dr. Drew. I really liked the one with his mom. But when it's like, yeah, I did a lot of drugs and then I became a follower of Aleister Crowley, I'm like, oh, roll my eyes into the back of my head. You think but you're deep, but you're not. But that was also
Damien Eccles from the Memphis Three talking about how he studied
the
cult
to like get through
his period.
So I'm not sure why they didn't
touch again,
on that.
The whole time I'm listening to it, I don't really care.
Yeah, and
much.
Part of it, too, is that these are condensed versions. Like, I believe the episodes are about an hour, and these episodes of this cartoon are about, like, maybe, you know, the snippet would be, like, 20 minutes. So when you have the context of the hour, you get to learn a lot more and be more engaged. But when you have just a snippet, it's taken out of context in some regards. So it's like, I want to know more about, if I knew more about what you were talking about, I would be in more.
And the majority of these, I mean, you know, these are people from different walks of life that he's brought onto his show to talk about things that are meaningful to him. And which is to say, they're not actors. The majority of them aren't.
No.
So they don't really play any character, even though they have some kind of linking material to kind of feed into that conceit. At one point, one of the guests refers to the main character, Clancy. He just calls him Duncan, and Duncan Trussell goes, it's Clancy, actually. And then they just both start laughing about it. And that's that part is animated and kept in. So it just seems like there's no real sense of controlling how the narrative is being constructed and how it's incorporating all of these sort of like long-winded conversations about deep thoughts. And frankly, you know, I have very limited patience for a lot of this stuff. Some of it is really good. But a lot of times, like I said, I don't really care about this kind of stuff. And if you're into it, I don't want to say you're wrong for believing that kind of stuff. But as far as, you know, the animation goes, I thought that was really cool. It was really fun, and they go by really quickly. But Bradley, was there anything here that you thought, you know, Mindy and I have kind of been ragging on it. Is there something you have to contribute to that or maybe defend?
Well, I kind of agree with you, too. I know a lot of these guests, and I thought it was fun to hear them. And you catch on real quick that even if you don't know who Duncan is, like, oh, this is a podcast and we're listening to a podcast as animation is happening around us. Some of the animation I found quite disturbing, which you're right, Marco, that's not wrong. You know, if that's your thing, that's cool. I like to see things I've never seen before, so it can be very fun. And I don't hate this art style. I can't recommend it because of how much it disturbed me a lot of the time. But like, yeah, Dr. Drew, love Dr. Drew. I think he always gives great advice and puts things into perspective because unfortunately we live in, you know, a world where an addict is a bad person and you should stay away from bad people. Oh, if only it was that simple, you know. And I actually really love Death as a character. Anytime Death's a character, I'm a huge fan.
That was a good episode as well. And
that was one of my favorites. That was Caitlin Dowdy, who is a mortician and blogger who, you know, talks at length about these issues, especially death and how we as a society deal with it or don't deal with it. That I thought was interesting because now it's like, oh, this is history. You're talking about history and the history of the mortician trade as opposed to like, let me just tell you something that happened to me and I had this vision and how I think it means something important. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad we all kind of liked, I think we all liked individual aspects of it. I just think that those two halves did not successfully merge together. Well, I don't want to beat it to death.
Agree.
Like I said, it's pretty obvious that this is a, what this reminded me of was like Dr. Katz, the old
squiggle animation.
Adult Swim. Yeah.
Somebody else was talking about it, and they compared it to that too.
Oh, okay, because I was like wondering if anybody remembered it. It was a Comedy Central thing where comedian Jonathan Katz would bring in his comedian buddies, and they would basically do their set with a little bit of improv, and then they would animate over it, and it looked like a therapy session. And that's exactly what this is, only in podcast form, and a lot less funny. The humor derives from the visuals, and the visuals often distract from anything that's we're being told. Let's go ahead into final thoughts since I think we're heading in that direction. Mindy, why don't you go ahead and go first?
Well, like I said, it is a difference between the words and the animation. The words, depending on what you're into, it can either be really, really interesting. I'm like you. I really like history. I really like listening to things about science. But when it came to, like, I smoked a whole bunch of peyote and then saw Jesus, that just is like, oh, God, really? So depending on what you're into, it can be either really interesting or just really annoying to listen to. And then you have the animation, which is very, very colorful and very, very bizarre, but it's not very, I would say, refined. So depending on what your visual aesthetic is for animation, you will either think it's really psychedelic and cool, or you'll think it's really just amateurish, I would even say, because it's not all that quote unquote detailed in sort of a Renaissance-y kind of way, which their other cartoons are. So it's like, if I were listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, I could easily put that in my podcast loop. I listen to a lot of podcasts. But would I watch a second season of this? No, I wouldn't, because the animation doesn't add anything to what people are saying, and in turn, it even in many ways detracts from it by slapping on an ending that was obvious that they put in because they thought it was funny and didn't have anything to do with anything. And that pissed me off. So, yeah, like I said, Duncan Trussell, pretty cool. Whatever the dude's name is that interpreted this into animation from Adventure Time, man, I wish you had done more in order to make it more engaging. So I am going to give it two fluffy dogs with wormholes in their stomachs out of 10.
Wow.
I did not like this show. As it progressed on, I just got more and more irritated. But I will say the last episode made me cry because it was dealing with personal death. And my mother is dying too, so of course that hit a chord. But again, it depends on what topic are you connected to that is going to determine whether or not you have any kind of reaction or response to it. And I do love that fluffy dog. I love that dog.
Yes.
That's one thing I will say.
Indeed. The TARDIS dog, I called it. I enjoyed that as well.
The TARDIS dog. Yes.
TARDIS Terrier, I should have said. Now, there's a lot of subjects in this that not only was I unaware of, but didn't exactly care for, nor would I seek them out. Like magic. Magic is real, man, and it's all around us. The biggest book of magic is the Bible. And that's interesting. But that's about as far as it would get with me usually. Now, I am actually a fan of Dr. Drew Pinsky. Huge fan of, you brought her up earlier, Caitlin Dautry. Love her book, Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs? I think everyone should read it. It's a really good thing to read about death, especially to your kids.
I've heard of that one. Yeah.
The answer is yes, one of my favorites. Will.
And when they did talk to guests I like, I enjoyed it a lot, actually. The animation for me, always give or take. I don't like being grossed out when I watch something. And I'm honestly not sure why animation being hyperviolent grosses me out so much. Maybe it's goes back to Bambi's mom. Maybe I should take some psychedelics and stare at my hands, and my hands will tell me why I am. I don't know. But I've also never dabbled into drugs, except when there's been a medical emergency, and my loving wife told me that when I was high on drugs, I talked about football in obscure ways the whole time. You know, and so I feel like I can't even relate to it on that level because I didn't see, you know, what, Brett Favre Jesus. Just, but this might, you know, tickle some people's fancy, as they say. Didn't really tickle mine all that much because I've been a fan of a lot of these people outside of this medium, and I don't prefer this medium, though I do respect the experiment of it. So I'm going to give it 6 System Simulator, Universe Simulators in 10 shacks.
Okay. I am quite frankly surprised because if you had asked me before we started this, I would have bet that Mindy would have liked it more than you did, Bradley. And I would be the guy who, like, fucking hated it and was pissing all over it and then would feel bad, like, Jesus, I'm a terrible person. I'm so negative. I did find things in here to enjoy. I think those last two episodes in particular are really strong, and it's where the narrative, such as it is, finally starts to connect. I feel like, oh, this is what this has been building towards. But the rest of it just felt like a lot of, you know, again, very podcasty. This is basically a TED Talk. Instead, if it were recorded in your backyard and you were all smoking pot and nobody in the room is really quite as bright as they think they are, or at least is not allowed to come across as intelligent as they are, because, again, the animation style often comes in and is jarring and takes you out of it. Obviously, if you are a fan of Pendleton Ward and Duncan Trussell, I think this is probably going to be a must-see for you. For other folks, you know, I was really expecting something really insane and weird and something more like Adventure Time meets Rick and Morty meets like 60s, 70s acid style, you know, with like heavy metal thrown in. And yeah, I mean, it feels like at times I feel like it's a Jean-Giraud Mobius illustration if, you know, a 12-year-old were doing it and there was an army of animators to bring it to life. But unfortunately, I just couldn't get past all of the things that we've already talked about. I do think those last two episodes are strong. And if you were not sure, it's like I said, they're 8 episodes. They're all about 30 minutes or less. But if you had to watch any of them, I'd say just skip to the last two and you'll be just fine. That's the best that Midnight Gospel has to offer. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm going to give it an extra point just for those last two episodes. This is a 6.5 out of 10 oddly vaginal looking simulators with belching smoke coming out of them. And on that note, I think we're going to go and, you know, maybe do some things. Come on, Bradley, where are you at, man? Where do you live? Why don't you come over to my place? You know, we'll do a few, you know, we'll look at some beach blankets together while tripping balls. I guarantee you, man, it will change your fucking life. Well,
where does anybody live? I think we all live in the stigmata of Jesus.
Well, that would explain so much because it's so humid in here.